Okay, welcome to the February 24th.
Could you turn on the microphone?
That will help.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome to the February 24th, 2010 Board of Directors meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. Roll call, please.
Roll call. President Dahl.
Here.
Vice President Dean.
Here.
Director Hill.
Here.
Director Lucy.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Okay, would you please rise and join me in the flag salute?
Ready. Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Takes us to item number 3, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board at this time on any item that is not on the agenda.
Hello, President, Board of Directors. Have any of you spoken to Toxo regarding any current district issues? If so, what are his suggestions for solving them?
I'm sorry, but this is basically public comment time. It's not really a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's any questions anyone has, feel free. The best time to do that is to come in and talk to the general manager, get your questions answered, and then that time, then your public comment time can be taken up, giving us your opinion of what you know. Your input on what, on the things that we should be considering or need to consider.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Nancy McNeil, Oceana. So public comment then is an agenda item.
It is an agenda item.
So I want to comment on something that's not an agenda item, and then I want to comment on public comment, which is an agenda item.
Well, that's fine. You can comment on that. That we're on that item, you can comment on that as well.
Okay, so first I'll comment on the one that's not on the agenda. Right? Which is the letter that was included in the packet by President Dahl regarding timelines for the potential lawsuit, again, from a Mr. Bookout. I won't rehash the entire discourse. However, I'd simply like to say that the tone of the letter seemed to implicate Director Lucy and seemed to imply that President Dahl agreed that she should fill all the demands put forth, such as apologizing for telling the truth and to resign. And I'm glad that she refused to do either. And now I have a comment on public comment. About public comment, we can't ask questions. Nobody either wants to answer us or they don't know the answer. So you kind of leave us no choice but for us to, like, point out your deficiencies the way that we understand them and call you out on, say, for example, your petty little personality differences, which appears to be a constant interference to the detriment of Oceano and its residents. In addition, it appears that someone is arbitrarily choosing which public comments get sent out with board packets and which ones do not. Last time I provided testimony, I specifically asked that my public comment be entered into the record and be included in the following board packet. This did not happen. On the other hand, a comment about Director Lucy needing to be educated or something to that extent was included in the packet. The comment was not even signed by the person who made it. So I guess that leaves the door open for anybody to write anything about any board member anonymously, put it in the record, and have it sent out to the whole world. For example, I could say, Director Dahl is uneducated and unfit to be the board president. or Director Dean continues to use fear tactics to get her way, and she should probably resign as well. And those comments could be anonymous, and they would be sent out in board packets. But if a person has something to say about three board members who left their posts prior to the meeting being adjourned, then you just omit that from the packet. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to address the board?
I'd like to address the board. My name is Carol Hempstead and Oceana. I'd like to just make some comments here regarding the budget and things that have been occurring in the district. And I unfortunately don't have anything printed out to give to the directors because I just have made notes for myself here. But essentially, what I want to talk about is that, you know, in our economy right now, our government is, all of our governments, state,
federal,
are implementing severe budget measures to cut expenses because of the economy. And our district has been impacted along with the rest of the nation, even maybe more so because we have a very high per capita unemployment rate here. About 4 months ago, the directors sort of tried to address this in that there was some talk, maybe it was longer, but around that time span, the directors did talk about some of the things that could be done within the district to cut costs and help the budget, and they asked for some public input. But that was 4 months ago. And, you know, now we're talking about, you know, imminent water and sewer increases to the constituents that live here in the district. And how that will translate is that these people will have less money for the necessities of life. However, any discussion or directive for cost-cutting within the district has been totally sidetracked by the amount of time and energy spent by some of the members of the board to maintain their status quo. A recent example of the irresponsible use of tax dollars being squandered was the 7,000 postcards, approximately, sent out to all the water customers in the district soliciting the board vacancy. When the rules of order and the district council did give direction and advice what needed to be done to be able to solicit that board seat. And the procedure would be used. And it had been followed in the past. And now, $800 later, and all of those postcards, we had exactly four people put in their letter of interest for this board seat that was open. The directors have to realize that they weren't hiring someone, that this is supposed to be a voluntary seat. And I don't think that all of the money spent and everything that went with that warrants the seat when these procedures that worked in the past, and by the way, probably brought more letters of interest, would have been sufficient. That's just one of the ways that the board seems to be irresponsibly using the money. I know $800 isn't a lot, but to some people in this district, it is a lot. But now, in their quest to get the third controlling vote in Oceano, they have turned the Oceano district into a lame duck. And this has been voiced by many people who have gotten up here at this podium and talked about the district not doing district business. Since December, neither the general manager, I don't believe, nor any of the directors have been able to give their reports and do district business. Our new GM has implemented measures so that the financial business of the district money can now be tracked responsibly, as many years of auditors' reports have suggested was not being done. However, this will cost the district dearly in money and setbacks. As Director Lucy stated in December 2009, there may be retaliation. She said there would be retaliation. And there were some of those on the director's board who denied it. Our general manager, Raphael, his thanks for all that he's accomplished. Is that his contract has a good chance of not being renewed in June when it comes up. And the forensic audit will be left in the dust. There are those who would be willing to sacrifice friendships of long standing and throw the constituents of this district under the bus to prevent that forensic audit. And again, with the excuse of delays for financial reform because of the revolving door with regard to our general managers, I sincerely hope that the people of this district can see beyond the smokescreen of distractions but call a spade a spade and let that forensic audit happen instead of always being forgotten. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board at this time?
David Schaffardini from Oceano. I wish, could the board clarify the amount of time that's available per person or the policy for a public comment? I may not have gotten the information right. I was under the impression that it was a three-minute period. I wish you'd be consistent and helping the audience follow that with due respect to all the important issues that are brought up. But I think it might encourage people to be more succinct and efficient for all of us.
Yes, you're right. I did let the last speaker go over, and I apologize for that. I forgot to look at the clock when they started, so I didn't have a real clear starting time. Thank you.
Good evening. I will be succinct. Prior to the to me putting in a letter of interest for the vacant board seat, I asked the board if there was any criteria that they were looking for in a candidate. I was told no, that all that was required was to put in a letter of interest. However, after the selection was made, I was told by one member of the board that quantified meeting attendance was a criteria used. I was told by another member of the board that prior experience was a criteria used to vote. These were not disclosed to any of the candidates prior to the selection being made, and it was a very exclusive set of criteria. Only one person met those qualifications. At best, that is a shadow on the integrity of the board and the votes that were cast last on February 10th. And at worst, it is unethical for any vote taking place tonight. And with that, I am withdrawing my name because I don't see how this could be a fair outcome any way you look at it. And I don't really care who you select for the board. My main interest has always been Oceano and getting something done. And whoever you select, please know that the onus is on you as a board to produce, and to produce without excuse. No more excuses. There are things that can be done legally. Recalls. People are fed up. No one is indispensable.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Larry Bross. Let me say this. There are two areas. One is procedure. The other is substance. I'm sorry that I have to lecture you. But we're involved in procedure constantly. Not substance, procedure. Who should be on the board? Robert's Rules of Order. How should we conduct the meeting? That's all you're involved in here. I was to the NAPOMO meeting on Monday. There's none of this procedure. There's all substance. Get it straightened out. End the procedure. Get to the substance. NAPOMO next meeting is going to hold a meeting devoted to the particulate matter. I don't know if any of you read the papers. I happen to have a chronic cough. I've lived in this community for 20 years. That's substance. Now, the lawyer might say that it's not his jurisdiction, but this is our government. It's not his government, it's our government. And we should be dealing with the issues that affect people in this community. Not your procedure. You're being very selfish. Finish with the procedure. Get down to the substance, please.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to move item number 4 to between 14 and 15 on the agenda for time, which takes us to item number 5. Which is the discussion on the appointment. So at this point, I have to step down because I have
So you're not going to have board member comment?
We are going to have it, but later in the
So
in the
where
agenda.
Did you suggest moving that to?
I've moved it between 14 and 15.
I ask that the warrants be moved up to item number 3.
We are going to be discussing that under item number...
I just think it's, as a board member, I just think it's irresponsible to deal with the money as the last item.
Okay. We're going to be discussing that under item number 7.
Yeah, but you have warrants under item number 13. The money is... I can't figure out what
this
your order
is. The order is what's written down here.
President, I ask that you move the issue of spending money to the top of the agenda.
We are going to discuss that under item 7 because that was what you requested at the last meeting.
So you're moving the warrants from 13 to 7.
No, I'm not moving anything at this point other than the board member comments. We are right now on item number 5. Okay, and at this point I have to recuse myself as I have a conflict of interest in this procedure.
Okay, we're at the point where there is a reconsider the appointment to fill a vacancy on the board of directors. And I do not...
Can you speak up?
You can't hear anything.
We are at the point where we are to consider an appointment to fill a vacancy on the board of directors. I do not see that there is a vacancy on the board of directors. So I am looking at something produced by our attorney, and I would like him to speak to this, and then I guess we will talk about it.
Yes, Madam Vice President, members of the board, members of the public. This matter was put on the agenda at my suggestion. I have a staff report which the board has seen. It was produced earlier today, so I suspect the public hasn't seen it. I'll read at least part of it so you get the flavor of what the issue is here, and then depending upon how the board decides to act, if at all, maybe the rest of the report will become moot. At its February 10, 2010 meeting, the board attempted to appoint an applicant to the vacant board seat. The board appointed Lori Angelo by a 2-to-1 vote, President Dahl abstaining. Ms. Angelo immediately was sworn in and acted as a director for the remainder of the meeting. We have since determined that Government Code Section 61045 requires three affirmative votes to appoint Ms. Angelo, and consequently her appointment was outside the board's authority and subject to challenge. However, having been sworn in, Ms. Angelo has ostensible authority to act until she either steps down or is removed by an order of the Superior Court. The California Government Code and the Code of Civil Procedure establish processes for any interested party to challenge an improper act by a governmental body through a petition filed with the Superior Court, and that might be the way this issue might be ultimately resolved. If no one challenges Ms. Angelo's appointment in the manner required by the codes, then she continues to sit and her position would be up for election in November. If someone challenges her and she is removed, then any action taken by the board in which she made the third vote of a 3-2 majority likewise is potentially subject to challenge. In light of this, if Ms. Angelo voluntarily steps down from the board would need to reconsider the appointment to fill the vacancy. And in the memo that I've provided, I outline the steps to get that accomplished. If Ms. Angelo refuses to voluntarily step down, then reconsidering the appointment at this time, I think, would be a useless act, and probably no further action would be required. The board could consider whether it wishes to file a petition in Superior Court to determine the validity of Ms. Angelo's appointment, and that could be taken up at this time if the board chose to do that. So I outlined four steps that would be taken if Ms. Angelo voluntarily steps down and the board were to proceed on it. The board would need to decide first whether it wants to reconsider the appointment. Assuming an affirmative answer to that question, then it would decide on the procedures for making the appointment. The third step would be to consider and vote on an applicant consistent with those procedures. And the fourth step, if the board could not agree on an appointee, it would need to decide whether it will call for a special election to fill the board vacancy. If it decides to call for the special election, that election would happen concurrently with the November 2nd, 2010 general election, and the happenstance that it would occur that the board has a choice whether to simply ignore that objection or to act on that or to consider that objection. And if the board considers that objection, fails to take action, and notice is given, that establishes the statute of limitations, the time starts to run, within which someone, if they wanted to pursue it, would have to file a lawsuit under the Brown Act. The last thing I wanted to say is I am painfully aware of my fallibility because I think it was the day before your last board meeting, I spoke briefly on the phone with your general manager, and he questioned me about how the majority rules work in this particular situation, the unusual situation that you had. I told him that it simply required a 2-to-1 majority vote. I was completely and utterly mistaken. This is entirely my fault. I apologize to all of you and to the community for having put the community in this position. I would be happy to do anything I could do to try and fix it. Try and answer any questions.
Okay. My first question is to Director Angelo if she wishes to step down.
No.
I would like to do a presentation based upon where I'm coming from the last meeting, because I presided at this fiasco that took place at the last meeting, and I really have to apologize. I would like to
A point of order.
Yeah.
I don't really see the relevance of this. I think Director Dean said it well. She didn't see a vacancy on the board, neither do I. I think we acted at the last meeting in conformance with the procedures that were put in place on the advice of counsel. Other attorneys seem to agree with the opinion of counsel there, and our rules of order would seem to prohibit bringing this item back under the circumstances.
I would like to respectfully say that I presided at an illegal action. I consider it still an illegal action. The appointment was illegal. There are a maze of things that came to fruition that were wrong with this. I don't want to really participate in something that is illegal.
Go.
First of all, we did have a Brown Act violation. We did not agendize the procedure. It was not on the agenda. You are supposed to have it on there 72 hours in advance. Second, General Manager Rafael Montemuro changed the procedure without anyone seeing it until the night of. The procedure that he changed also said we were asking whether it was a 2-2 vote, 2-3 vote, or a 3-0 vote, because Vern Dahl was recusing himself. However, when you look at the procedure that we used that night, under the recommended action before your board, it does say in that procedure that the nominee who receives the most votes with a minimum of 3 directors voting for that nominee shall be appointed. We did not follow that procedure, and we all voted on it. That did not take place. The other thing that happened is we had a vote. Lori Angelo had 2 votes. She had a vote from Mary Lucy and a vote from Jim Hill, and a yes vote from each of those directors and a no vote for me. Thelma Hurdle had a yes vote for me, an abstention from Director Hill, and a no vote from Director Lucy. An abstention, as I understand it, is a yes vote according to our rules of order. That is section 2.6 of the rules of order. It says, unless a board member states that he or she is not voting because of a conflict of interest and steps down from the dais prior to the discussion of the item, his or her silence or vote of abstention shall be recorded as an affirmative vote. We had a tie vote. I understand people's frustration with following procedure, but if you don't follow the law, there's nothing for us. The thing is to be ethical, fair, and equitable, and that is to be for everybody in this community, and we didn't do it.
Well,
okay, that was the staff report. It is public comment time for this.
It's a staff report?
Essentially.
That was a Campbell report.
Both.
Both?
Nancy McNeil, Oceano. You said your law or code or whatever says that the person has to get 3 votes. It does not say that the person has to get 3 yes votes. The person who is seated got 3 votes. Okay? They don't all have to be yes. She got 3 votes, which is a majority.
Okay, I'd also like to address, there was some letter or some written thing by Pamela in some board packet or other. Okay, the fact that Director Dean did not get her candidate of choice seated on the board has led to the additional unnecessary wasted time and perhaps legal and or other expenses for the district. I think she needs to just get over it, move on, and do the people's work that she so often righteously talks about. It is overwhelmingly obvious to me and to a plethora of other viewers that if the results of the last meeting for the board appointment had gone in her favor, that she would not be crying foul now. So just because the outcome was not in Ms. Dean's favor, she wants a do-over. It's already done. Let's move forward with the sitting board, the sitting directors, take on the enormous challenges ahead of us instead of wasting time and doing the same things over and over. Furthermore, why is Director Dean doing this extensive research now, after the fact, when, in fact, she should have done it prior to the meeting and been prepared to fill the vacancy? A diligent board member would have done the research on the policies to nominate for a vacant seat well in advance of the meeting when action was to be taken to fill the vacancy. In addition, the code that Director Dean refers to is incomplete in her letter. It appears that she has cherry-picked the part of the code that she thinks she can use to her advantage or to get her way. May I remind you that this is the same board member who walked out of a meeting prior to its adjournment, seemingly for similar reasons. I don't get my way, so I'm taking my bat and ball and going home. Since the board offered no explanation for abandoning their posts at the particular meeting, we are again left to assess our own opinions or assumptions. Again, those board members were Barbara Mann, Vern Dahl, and Pamela Dean. So anyway, the code also says that the board can develop and implement their own procedures. It says in the same code. So that's my understanding of what the board did. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but it appears that the board did not break any law, as Ms. Dean proclaims. The idea of, oh, we may have broken the law, appears to me to be nothing more than scare tactics along with smoke screens and mirrors and an excuse to use so that Director Dean can appoint the candidate of her particular choice. And thirdly, I'd like to say that the appointment of Lori Angelo was obvious. She's very qualified. She's an active member in the community. She needs little to no training, as opposed to some of the other candidates who admitted they would need training on procedures in particular, which we are obviously bogged down with, as others have said. She's a founding member of this community. She's been involved on many levels for many years. The idea that this board would even entertain removing her from her appointed seat is preposterous, and I might add it's quite insulting. Thank you. Also, I would like my public comment to be recorded in the record and sent out in the following packet.
Karen White, Halcyon. I came just in time to see the Jerry Springer Show start again. Even my friends in Arroyo Grande are joking about it. Here we go again. Constant politics. The politics of this town is a politics of hate that stops anything positive from happening. I kind of...
And if not, I say let it go to litigation. If not, let's go to the county and turn this business over to the county and let them run it. I think we'd be a lot better off. Because it appears to me that we're no better off with the board today as it was 16 years ago. It's the same thing. All you do is come down here and you argue about what? You argue about nothing, really. And you get nothing done. Thank you.
should be obvious to everybody. This is an issue. This is a question of power. It has nothing to do with justice. Please take the minority position. You know, that's where you belong. A new majority will take over. Thank you.
Kathy Young Oceano. I think if this board refuses to follow California code,
can't hear you.
Thank you. I think if the board refuses to follow California code, which does rule the government offices such as this, then we've lost everything. And Mr. Seamus pointed out there has to be three affirmative votes out of the five for this, and the board does not have the power to override California code. So if this board wants to ignore California code for whatever reason, I can't figure out if it's that. I just don't understand. And I figure if it's not going to be legal, why should any of us even pay our water bills? And what would happen if somebody ran for the board, say was appointed, lived in Napomo, but gave their friend's address in Oceano? And it was found out after they were sworn in that they were, all of a sudden they found out they lived in Napomo. But they'd been sworn in and seated, so that means they don't have to get off the board? They can refuse to? Can Mr. Seamus answer that question? Is that all right?
With all due respect, I'm just curious. I don't see the relevance of the question.
Questions are to the president.
All right, could you ask him that? He's saying, from what I understand, it doesn't matter if the code was broken. Once somebody's seated, if they don't want to step down voluntarily, then that's it. So would that be the same thing in the scenario I just said? If somebody was not a resident of Oceano and got on the board, they would not have to step down if they didn't want to? You might as well forget this community entirely.
Alex, could you answer that for...
The hypothetical posed is a somewhat different situation. There are provisions. I can't cite you chapter and verse at the moment because I didn't realize I was going to get that question. But the basic rule is that if somebody who's been properly seated later becomes ineligible, perhaps because they've moved out of the jurisdiction, then there are separate procedures for how that person is removed if they choose not to step down on their own.
I over this week, I'm sure this is probably the most the district rules of order have been scrutinized for a long time. And, you know, it's said that for every attorney you have a different opinion. And I know that Mr. Seamus's legal counsel that was here that night, you know, was very adamant about stating that they had three legal counsels in the office and their opinions. And my opinion is, I have talked to attorneys that I know down all the way to Beverly Hills talking to them. And their opinion is this. Each attorney will have a different opinion, and it's up to the district to determine how they will handle this. Now I hear Pamela Dean saying that she's willing to use her money to go all the way to the Superior Court. I guess that's because we're all concerned about what this board has been doing with our money and willing to. Still, I say let's get this settled and do the will of the people.
Just to clarify one statement, while the board did rely on my opinion, I was not here the night of the meeting.
I say if there are multiple opinions by multiple attorneys, let the Superior Court settle it.
To this introduction of this item, we had the president, Vern Dahl, write a letter of protest of a Brown Act, in an action which he recused himself. Now, is he going to recuse himself and stand in the back, send letters to the board, or is he going to recuse himself? You know, it's totally inappropriate for him to sit back on the sidelines at this point and cry foul. The procedure would be where if you have a board item and there's a method to get a vote, it's perfectly legal for the board to vote on a procedure right then and there. That'd be like saying, looking over at Raphael, says, should we have a roll call or should we just say yay? That's, you know, what's the difference? The other issue of the appointment, it's pretty obvious. When you need a majority of the vote when you have five board members seating. If you only have four up there and one recuses himself, he's out. That leaves you three. So the majority of the vote would be two. And I think there is a law, and I don't have the number in front of me, but I had an actual letter that our past counsel had shown me, John Seitz. And you know, I think it's questionable, Pamela. If you want to go out and cost the district a special election or another director that wants to put OC, you know, another director suing the district again, like the guy down here is floating in a boat, you know, go right ahead. But I'm glad to see at least five board members up here that possibly now we can get going and get some district business done. It is just disheartening to see this bickering and the fighting and all the politics trying to find out which side the weight's going to fall on. We need to get going. We got a lot of business to do. This board needs to do it. Get through an agenda. At least get through an agenda. Thank you.
My name's Cindy Winner, and I'd just like to say that the district is probably in a more perilous position as far as operationally than I've seen it in the past 27 years. And I'm hoping, I think Lori's heart is in the right place. I think she has bookkeeping experience. I think she can help all of you come together. And is there some way you can call this maybe a clerical error, or it falls under errors and omissions, and everybody can get together and get to work for Oceano?
Good evening. My name is Kevin Rice, San Luis Obispo. I'm here as a non-resident to speak in favor for Ms. Lori Angelo. It's clear that she is the most qualified out of the candidates that spoke last week. When the questions were asked of her, she knew answers that the other candidates couldn't answer even after hearing her answers. I think it's really unfortunate what's occurred, and I hear a lot of sincere regrets from a lot of people here. But this is water under the bridge now. Some things you can undo, some things you can fix, some things you can't. In this case, the pregnancy's already happened. You can't undo it. Ms. Angelo's seated here. I see her name on the agenda. The council seems to feel that her seat on the board is now legitimized. If somebody wants to challenge that, feel free. We saw the Los Osos CSD sink themselves, voting against a project that was already started, and they still don't have that project years and years later. I just beseech the Vice President, Ms. Dean, to please don't do what you're talking about doing. I think you'll find that you'll be out in November or whenever your next cycle is. I'm hearing the feeling from the people behind me. But I'm just here to support Ms. Angelo. She's a wonderful candidate. I don't see anything wrong with that. And as long as nobody challenges it, I could see a bright future. If somebody wants to mire things down, it's going to be on you. And me up at San Luis Obispo, I'll be laughing at you in the Tribune, because that's what happens to the CSDs when they do these things. Good luck.
Any more public comment?
And as far as stating the law of 61045, first of all, it's a code. It's not a law. And I'm sure you'll correct me. And also, too, is that it goes from A to G. And really, you know, it's this law is built so districts can, or bodies can, move forward. It has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with operations of a district, fiscal policies, personnel policies, perching and a tool. So this is the law that they're using to state the code, excuse me, that is so law-breaking, or which I feel quite offended that someone would even imply that we would intentionally break the law.
I'd like to hand out, this was Alex Seamus's letter to me before tonight. I did not see tonight's letter until it appeared on my desk. So I have 25 copies of these. I'd like that to be handed out so people can see that. At this point,
is that on the agenda? That information?
It speaks to the issues. It speaks to the issues, and it speaks to what I was given before this meeting.
Was that the email that you sent out?
It was in your Friday report, I believe.
Oh, the one that calls us criminals. That's right. Okay.
I'm not sure I see the benefit.
I did not say anything about being called criminals. There is a quite stiff charge if you do not do it properly. What I was given was that. What I was given tonight was something totally different. I see that no member of the board is willing to proceed any further, and I think this item will be closed then.
I just need a point of information. And this is to legal counsel. You express your embarrassment and all those other things that you expressed in here. But what I would like to know is, you know, we went on your advice, so I want to know if the people of Oceano are being charged for legal fees right now, because we do pay $200 an hour. So having to go through this process, is the people of Oceano being charged again?
As I mentioned in the February 17th memo, As I mentioned in the February 17th memo, any expenses associated with trying to fix this problem. I can't get any closer to the microphone. As I mentioned in the February 17th memo, any expenses associated with trying to fix this problem, my office will absorb. So we've spent about 45 minutes on this topic, and I will credit that back on our bill for the month, as I will credit back the 5 to 10 hours that my office has spent in the last week working on this problem.
All right. I see no further action to be taken here. This segment is closed. Please have Vern come back to the dais, and we will continue the meeting.
Take a break there.
No.
guys wanting a break, or do you want to continue on?
No.
5-minute break, or which one?
President Dahl, would I ask that the warrants be moved up on the agenda, please? This thing about money.
Okay. All right. It finishes item number 5. And we got a request to move the warrants up, so we'll take the warrants at this point in time. Unless there's any objection. Okay.
I have a couple questions. Thank you. I have a couple questions, and I see Ms. Davis isn't here, so
I'll attempt to answer your questions.
Thank you very much.
She's bilingual. She helps the customers at the counter take in money.
So we're not eliminating that position, are we?
No, but we're cutting the hours. Because money's tight.
Mm. And then also, too, is I see that there's one director whose warrants are back up, who's got a $300 payment. Was that not included in the last lump? Or what? Kind of maybe you could explain to me why one director's stipend was wrong. And still the warrants were passed.
What happened there, Director Lucy, is my staff prepared a check for $400 for a given director, and we based that payment on what we believe to be the correct amount of committee meetings and board meetings that were attended. After we prepared that check, it was brought to our attention that two of those meetings had been canceled. So therefore, the correct amount of payment that the director should have received was $100 less. So what we did was we took back the check, which showed an overpayment. We put void on it, and now we have a void file in our accounts payable office in a 3-ring binder. If anyone wants to see that check, I can make it readily available. And we issued a new check for the correct amount of payment, which was $300. As a matter of fact, I would take the liberty to ask if, please, in the future, if any of our, now that we have 5 board members seated, if you attend a committee meeting, other because the board is obviously, we know exactly who attended, we would appreciate if you could, you know, just anything, a memo or a notepad or an email, if you could let us know exactly how many meetings in a month you attend, then the previous month we'll be able to accurately do that and we won't have this type of error.
Okay, very good. That's an easy fix. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Any other questions on the warrants? Any public comment on the warrants?
Yes, I'd like to, Carol Henson, Nociano. I'd like to know on the director's stipend for committees attended and meetings attended, is this district have in place any kind of a reporting system as General Manager Raphael stated, or does this district depend upon reporting verbally from the director according to the meetings that they have attended rather than turning in some slip of paper or some kind of accounting system that will alert the office staff what was attended and was not? I'd like to know if that question would be answered.
Okay, thank you. I think the general manager will respond to that. That if you want to right now, but make it brief. We don't want to keep the meeting going any longer because we got a lot to do today.
My comment, I just touched upon it when I spoke with Director Lucy. I would ask that if directors attend a committee meeting at the end of the month, just whatever's easier for you, send us an email. You know, I attended 5 meetings, drop off a note in our office or even call myself or our accounts payable person, and we'll attempt to make the checks more accurate. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comment on the warrants? Okay. Bring it back to the board. I'll entertain a motion.
I have one other comment. The warrants weren't delivered until late this afternoon. I wasn't able to look at them, so I'll not be able to support the warrants tonight.
Okay, any other comments?
I have a question.
Okay.
On the item under United Rentals, there's a charge for $275.03, and there was two items, one listed for sewer, one for water, for $5.95 each. And then underneath that it says training max for $263.13. What is that? It's on page 6.
Could you, Director Angelo, tell me who, you know, the amount of the check and who it's issued to? Because I have here, we have the vouchers that actually show the, you know, the bills. The
All right, it's United Rentals.
Two manuals for $75 for $150, which was $250, and then there was $13.13 for tax, which is $263.13, and the $5.95 twice, which you referred to earlier, which is a total of $275.03.
Okay. Thank you.
And if you'd like, I have here the actual bills, everything. Because we, what we do is we prepare these for the board, and I always have them up here. I apologize that we didn't actually get the warrants out sooner this week, but I'll take full responsibility for that. Last week, one day was a holiday, so we lost 20% of our time. We had some personal issues as far as family sick leaves and medical emergencies, and we're so short-staffed that when you take that amount of time out of the week, then we don't finish in time. But we did bring all the vouchers here for the board to look at if you so desire. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. It just didn't make sense to me. United Rentals, I'm thinking equipment.
Any other questions? Okay, entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the warrants.
I'll second that.
All right. Motion is second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Okay, it carries 4-1. Okay, this takes us to item number 6, review and approval of the minutes.
Item number 6, I would ask that we defer till next month because we have the minutes done, but they're in draft form and they weren't fully corrected today. So we have no minutes at this time.
Okay. So those will be brought back at the next meeting. Moving on to item number 7. Administrative items, go ahead.
Item number 7A is an administrative item. It was put on the agenda discussing regarding agenda format and the format process to ensure board is able to address each item on the agenda. We put it on the agenda per discussion at our last meeting that some board members would like certain items earlier on the agenda rather than later. So it's for discussion. The board, discuss it among yourselves. Let myself or my staff know which order you'd like, and we're here to help. That concludes my report.
Okay. This was... So, Mary, this is what, one of the things you wanted to talk about, whether you about having the warrants earlier in the meeting? Yeah, that's actually appropriate. We'll get a public comment on this item first.
My name's Dave Angelo from Oceano. And, you know, I guess the topic right now is the agenda. I don't really understand why you even create one. You don't follow it. I mean, you know, it's just completely erroneous to what happens here at the meetings. And since I'm up here, I might as well give you my suggestion. I suggest that you take care of the business You know, like if you have an engineer here for an issue, whatever, you put that first. Get him done and over with and out the door. Or anytime you have any kind of specialist, you know, that you're hiring, I'd prioritize it rather than just stick it on there and then move it three times during the meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, bring it back to the board.
Well, Director Dahl, I'd actually like to see times on when you're going to discuss an item. How long are you going to spend on that item?
Well, it depends on how much time each
board member... You just asked for suggestions.
No, that's fine. I'm giving you an answer. You asked a question. It depends on how much time each board member spends on each of these items. If we want to, as a board, limit the amount of time each board member can speak on an issue, that will speed the meeting up.
I think that your agenda should be broke out to 10 o'clock from 6:30 to 10 and broke up appropriately according to importance. So I think that's helped other boards to move their agenda along when they see that they really only have scheduled a certain amount of time. And I'm not saying you stick to every minute, but it does help move an agenda along. I definitely think the warrant should be at least no farther down the agenda than number 5, in my opinion. I think the warrant should be...
Show them what's happening.
Okay.
And the other thing I would like to, if we're going to look at reserves or those kinds of things, I think we need to look at a mid-year budget cycle. And usually that happens about now,
yep,
so that we can see where we stand. This is a very crucial item, and everybody's worried about it, including us, even though you may not think we are. But we are worried.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Okay, so we have enough of a consensus to move the warrants up on the agenda. Anyone else want to speak to the other item as far as mid-budget? Agreement on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll do the same on the mid-budget items. It's a request to have that come to us. Anything else on this item anybody wants to talk about?
I do. I think we should be succinct. I think the public should be succinct and use their 3 minutes, and we'll have to get the timer out. We used to have one here. And I think the board should be succinct. So I don't want to expend extra time with a lot of hemming and hawing, and I think we just get it done. So that's my other thing. I think we get the timer out again.
Okay. Everybody in agreement on that? No objections? Okay. So same thing with that. That item?
I'm not aware that we have a timer, but I'll look for one.
Okay.
We used to have one. It used to be in this box over here, but it isn't.
Okay. Anything else on this item?
No. What I would ask is that you consider going into executive session, moving that on the agenda.
Is the staff here for that?
I would ask that we wait a few moments for that. Our water engineer, John Wallace, is coming to talk about that. And the cheapskate in me, I take full responsibility. I told him come after 7:30 because I didn't know we were going to move it up on the agenda. So I'm sure he'll be here momentarily. And then I think that's a great idea once he does get here, if we go to that session so that we'll save money.
Take a break.
Okay. This concludes item number 7. Item number 8, there are no fire items. And so before we start item number 9, we'll take a 5-minute break. Okay, we're coming back to order now. We're at item number 9. There's been a request to move item number 10 up and go into closed session at this time. Is that the pleasure of the board?
Yes.
Okay, anybody have any comment on this at all? Do you want to keep going with 9, or do you want to go move 10 up?
I see that John Wallace is here, mm-hmm. and I think we can just adjourn quickly to our executive session and utilize his time and ours wisely.
Director Hill?
I agree.
Director Lucy? Director Angelo?
I agree.
Okay. All right. We're going to move item number 10 up and do item 10 at this point in time. And this will take us into closed session, so could you please introduce closed session?
Item 10A is an alpha. Closed session, conference with legal counsel pending litigation. Closed session, a closed session person to government code section 549, 56.9A, to meet with the district's legal counsel concerning pending litigation, the Santa Maria groundwater litigation, Santa Clara County, case number CV770214.
Yeah.
And 10B?
And item 10B, closed session conference with legal counsel. A closed session person to government code section 54956.9C to determine whether to initiate litigation.
Alex? Do we do public comment on this or not?
You would take public comment. Right. You don't often get it, but you would take public comment on going to closed session, yes.
All right. That's what I thought. Okay, thank you. So public comment on item 10A or 10B at this point in time.
Carol Henson, Oceano. I would like to know
information beyond what's on the agenda.
Thank you.
After the board, after the closed session, and if the after the closed session something is determined, then will that be disclosed to the public?
There is a closed session report after the closed session.
Thank you.
There is a closed session report. We are required to affirmatively disclose any actions taken calling for a vote. As a general rule, I believe, and I've got my Brown Act manual with me, so I'm going to take it and check this. I do not believe that this particular decision, if it is made to initiate the litigation, well, I take that back. We would be required to disclose that we had made the decision to initiate litigation if that decision is made. I don't believe we're required to disclose who the party is until after the litigation is initiated.
Well, I guess I'll get my Brown Act and get myself up to snuff on that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You can borrow mine.
Thank you.
Any other public comment on the closed session? Okay, thank you. And this takes us into closed session.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, with regard to item 10A, closed session pursuant to government code section 54956.9A, to meet with district's legal counsel concerning pending litigation, the litigation involved being the Santa Maria groundwater litigation, Santa Clara County case number CV770214, the board met and received a report. No action was taken. With regard to item 10B, a closed session pursuant to government code section 54956.9C, to determine whether to initiate litigation, the board met and took action to instruct the general manager and district legal counsel to investigate the potential claim further and report back to the board. The action was taken on an affirmative vote of Directors Hill, Angelo, and Lucy, Directors Dean and Dahl voting against.
Thank you. This takes us on to item number 9A.
Item number 9A, clean and inspection of district sewer and water lines. Continual disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors concerning and cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water mains. Subject cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. Public Contracts Code Section 22050C, as in Charlie 1, requires that if the governing body orders any action after the emergency has been declared, the governing body shall review the emergency action at its next regularly scheduled meeting and at every regularly scheduled meeting thereafter until the action is determined to determine by 4/5 vote that there is a need to continue the action. The recommendation before you is to approve. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Any public comment on this item? Okay, any board discussion? Entertain a motion.
I move that we continue the emergency for cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimous. 9B.
This takes us on to item number 9B, which is the sewer repair and replacement project, progress payment number 7. General Manager Montemuro, please.
Sewer repair and replacement project progress payment number 7. This is a consideration of the district consulting engineer to approve progress payment number 7 to R. Baker in construction. The work has been completed by Baker, and our utility department feels that it was done in excellent form, and I provided the board with the figures. It's $122,147.55 payment, and it concludes the payment, and we recommend approval.
Okay, thank you. Any public comment on this item? Okay, bring it back to board discussion.
SD number 6395.03, single family residence at 1929 Wilmar. It's been inspected. It meets all the criteria. We recommend that the board issues a will serve letter.
And I will recuse myself. It is actually for a 581-square-foot secondary dwelling over a two-car garage, so I will go out to the audience and sit. Thank you.
Thank you. Any public comment on this item?
Carol Henson, I have I was looking at the will serve letter and the property, and I was a little confused by it because it looks like there's just a water meter that's going to be being requested to put on an existing service there or something, but it doesn't show it in relation to the other. Any other water service to the property. So my question was, is that a connection to? Is there going to be a connection to the city, or is this a connection that is there from some other time, and they're just wanting to put a meter on it?
My understanding is that the inspection's been completed and everything is in order. But as far as the meter piece goes, I'll ask Mr. Davis if he knows if it's the existing meter or if it's a new one.
It was installed like 3 or 4 years ago before they poured cement.
Is that placed there where it needs a meter? Was that to do with the original water service that was connected? That particular site there was put in?
Okay, I don't want to get too much into questions and answers at this point, if we can. Go ahead, Pamela.
Then Pamela could answer me some other time. It's just for my own curiosity.
Okay.
Thank you, Pamela. You could some other time.
Okay, and then...
our recommendation is approval.
I understand. Is there any other public comment at this point? Okay, bring it back to the board. Discussion?
I have two comments. The first one is... are we requiring fire sprinklers in residential dwellings at this point? Is that part of the notification?
At this point, the answer is no, because it depends on the size of the dwelling. Now, after having spoken with the fire chief, next year, in 2011, there's going to be changes. But presently, under the rules, everything's in order. I believe it was Friday the 12th that the fire captain went and looked and had passed the fire inspection.
Okay. My second question is, since there's a fee letter involved, I don't see a front footage fee on here. Has that already been paid, or is that...
I believe that that was paid when, as Phil says, this meter has been there for a couple of years.
Okay.
So that was done earlier.
Anyone else?
Yes. I can't figure out if this is new construction. It says total square footage if new construction, and then it says second floor 581. So I assume it's new construction. So can you tell me why it is new construction? Mm-hmm. And you put in new lines, new water lines in there 3 or 4 years ago? So, did you put water service up to this new construction?
No, we put it up to the property line.
It's up to the property line. So, wouldn't there be front footage fees?
Apparently, that was done at the time.
Yeah, those have already been paid, according to staff.
Well, then, if it's already been paid, maybe it could be reflected in the charges that it's been paid, so we don't have to ask about front footage fees because they've already been handled. Because if you just look at this, there's no word or mention of front footage fees. And if this development has paid the front footage fees on this particular unit, then it should be included.
All right. Can you change the format on the will serve letter to show all the different fees and what's been paid and what hasn't been paid on the future
also,
future will serves?
Thank you. And also, too, is that what the changes are. And then also, too, is that I just need a point of clarification. It says this project falls under the exemption of content requirements. And that means what? I'm sorry, because it's capitalized, bolded. So what is a content that requirement?
That means that...
You don't have to...
That it passed that requirement.
You don't have to have a fire safety
plan. Well, this isn't speaking to a fire safety plan. This is speaking... I just don't understand. This project falls under the exemption of content requirements, which kind of tells me that they don't have to have the whole entire packet or something. I don't know. I don't know what it means.
That verbiage is consistent with our other will serve letters as well.
Okay. Maybe I can look it up on the internet.
Director Hill, did you want to say something?
No, it just relates to the, as Phil stated, the fire safety letter.
Yeah. All right, anyone else want to speak on this issue? Yeah. Entertain a motion.
Move approval as recommended by staff.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Director Hill.
Yes.
Director Angelo.
Yes.
President Dole.
Yes.
Director Lucy.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Items D through H?
No, D, E, and F.
Okay. Items D through H. Is there anybody want to talk about or discuss any of those items? Or are they all available? Or is everybody anybody have anything they want to discuss on any of those items?
Well, I have the same questions on, I think D, E, and F are effectively a single item, and G and H are separate items.
That's correct, Director Hill. D, E, and F we can vote on as one because they're similar, but G and H stand alone.
I was just trying to save some time. If there's nobody has anything and it's according to staff recommendation, they can all be voted on at once. But if somebody has questions on any of these...
That's true. I meant that D, E, and I were filed as requested as one.
Okay. So does anybody have any questions on any of those items, D through H?
I have the same comments on items D, E, and F. Are fire sprinklers required on...
Just right now, I just want to know if anybody has a question. So if there is questions on those three, then we'll pull those out and do those together at this point. Okay, so General Manager, go ahead and give us your introduction on this one.
D, E, and F are the Avocado Ranch... there are three lots, and they're lot 41, 42, and 19. Mr. Casey O'Connor provided staff with all the information that we need. He's paid fees prior to this. We have absolutely no reason to deny. Our recommendation is to approve all three. The answer to the sprinkler question is these dwellings are like 1,400 square feet, and they don't require sprinklers because they're single-family homes, and that won't be required until January of 2011. Now, if this was different type of property, then we would need sprinklers, but for a residential, no. And we recommend approval of all three.
Okay. Any public?
My second question then would be on the fee letters again, is the front footage fee. I didn't see that on these fee letters either.
Okay. Right now, we're going to go to public comment on this item. Okay. Bring it back to the board. Okay. Can you answer Director Hill's question?
I believe, but I'll refer to Mr. Davis. I believe that those front footage fees were paid earlier.
They were paid a couple of years ago.
I didn't know exactly how long, but I knew that they were paid earlier.
It might be good in future to put the paid fees there so that we can see that very easily and don't have to...
issue of when the orchard was actually bulldozed, the people on Pierce Street had a horrible problem with tree rats, and there was minimal to no support on ridding their properties of all those rats that ran into their yards. It was up to those people to handle that. So I just find it to be, if you're going to develop in an area, you have to respect an area. And if the developer wants to come forth and say, yes, I'll handle any problems with any rodents or anything like that, I'll put the light back in that I ripped out, things to that nature, then I'm supportive. But at this point, I found part of it to be irresponsible.
Any other comments? Okay, entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the Wiltshire letters on all three of them.
Okay, I need a second. Okay, I'll second it.
To approve the Wiltshire letters.
The three well-served letters, D, E, and F.
Yeah. Okay, I got a motion and a second. I was the second.
Director Vern was the second. Okay.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Director Angelo.
Yes.
President Dahl.
Yes.
Director Dean.
Yes.
Director Hill.
Yes.
Director Lucy.
No.
Okay, that takes us on to item G and H. Do anybody want these taken separately, or can we put them together? Okay, not hearing anything. Introduce G and H, please.
G and H. G is the temple of the people in regard to a vegetable stand. It's been looked at. It's been recommended for approval. They might have to, in the future, it's been listed, the seven items that they might have to comply with, but it's before you with staff recommendation to approve.
And basically, this is only for fire protection and has no water service or utility service involved in.
That's correct.
This roof over the the structure.
And item H.
Item H is an owner project with Mid-State Properties, and the fire safety plan was approved. It's exempt from the condition requirements, and Phil and I looked at it. The will serve request that the new owner, Mid-State Bank, would pay the $30 fee, and they've paid it, and the drawing is there, but I'm not sure exactly where the property is. It's parcel
Airport Drive.
Yeah, but Mid-State is not at that point. Phil, where's this property again?
We're right at the corner of Sherwood Avenue and Airport Drive.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's the location of the property.
That's the one that has the older house on the corner?
Okay. Is that that the
that concludes our report?
Okay. Any public comment on these two items? May bring it back to the board. Any discussion?
The item H, the will serve and fire safety plan, there's no fee letter associated with this. It's renewal of a will serve.
It's was a $30 fee.
Okay. And that's for basically renewal of the existing will serve letter?
We believe the old one had expired.
All right, next.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Abstain.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Okay, and this takes us on to item number 9I.
This takes us to item number I. It's a will serve letter for Woodward. It's a 23 residential unit over there by Pike and South Elm. The reason it's before you is I received a letter from Phil, and we talked about it, and basically, you know, we believe that our water there is closer than Arroyo Grande's water, and we've done this type of stuff before. The total 23 unit in fees to our district would be like roughly $250,000, plus we would get the water usage fees after that. So that's why it's before you for both mine and Phil's recommendation. There was a letter that was received late. I put it out in front of your chairs. It was emailed. It's from a Mr. Jeff Edwards. He commented that earlier when this was on in December, he was against, and that letter is included as well. And he sends another letter today saying that he isn't for the project. Outside of that, we haven't heard any other complaints. We believe that the development would be good for the fees, and it's before your consideration.
Okay, thank you. Any public comment on this item?
I believe this will be a question for Phil. Don't we serve Lancaster area there? And this would be like directly across the street.
Our pipeline actually surrounds the subdivision.
Right. And but it's not. We don't receive the property taxes, correct? Okay, so we're basically just doing the same thing as what we've done for years across the street. Okay.
Any other public comments?
Karen White, Halcyon. Yes, I'm against the project, but it's a little late because I just found out that I thought it had been canceled a couple years ago. And it's really not for you guys to stop the water when you serve everybody else around there. I mean, that doesn't seem like a fair situation. But for the record, Halcyon is opposed to increasing the density right across from our agricultural field and our cemetery. If you look at the number of buildings in this development, they're townhouses and apartments on very small lots. There is no recreational areas there. And it's going to have an impact. It's going to have an impact on Rudas' sustainable agricultural farm because those people have nowhere else to walk their dogs, ride their bicycles, and they seem to think that Halcyon is open parkland. And they also picnic in our cemetery. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Stephen Puglisi. I'm the project architect. I'm here representing Mr. Greg Woodard, who is the developer of this property. Several years ago, this project was brought before the city of Arroyo Grande. The property is wholly contained within the city limits. At that time, the project was approved by the city. Those permits and entitlements are currently active. And we, along with the variety of engineers that are working on this project, are moving to perfect the construction documents. We hope to begin construction within the next 6 to 7 months. Originally, that project was brought before you folks. And in 2008, you may, if I remember correctly, you granted a will serve letter for this project. That will serve letter did expire May of 2009, approximately 6 months ago. Some issues have come up this evening that, frankly, I was unaware of. I understand that your continuing to offer will serve for this property is not as...
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, bringing it back to the board discussion. Do we want more information on this and bring it back later? Or,
President, though, is it possible I could support that because it's so limited? Yeah, and I really do think it is a quality of life issue. in the area, particularly when you're dealing with cemeteries and things like that of that nature. Some things are sacred, so I would like to hear more about from the developer how they're not going to encroach on their neighbors. The lots are so small, I just can't even believe that. So there is a lot of questions, and maybe sitting down with the developer, we could get the answers to that and stuff. But when you're dealing with the resting, I just...
And it is almost 10 o'clock. I think we should...
So if we could table
extend
it.
Extend it and maybe bring it back so we have more time to talk about it. Plus, this is the first I've seen of both these letters. Plus, we've had public comment that we really need to listen to and decide what we're going to do. And I don't think anymore that we're, any of us in these cities, the five-city area, are... have an extra lot of water that we can be putting out there. We know what we have requested that the mobile home parks do. They became part of us and they're our sphere of influence, so they went to great lengths to become part of Oceano. So there's a lot of things to talk about, and I'll shut up so we can extend our time. Thanks. And I move that we extend the time to, say, 10:30 and finish up by then.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second to extend time to 10:30. Public comment on extending time?
Yes.
Okay, bring it back to the board. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries 5-0. So we're extended to 10:30. Okay, back to item number 9I. Looks like I'm hearing a consensus to bring this back to the board at a later date and get some questions answered that the board has. So we have to set up some kind of a way to convey those questions to the developer and so that he has a chance to respond to those either via the general manager or however. Okay, we'll leave it up to the General Manager Montemiro to make sure that interaction happens.
I just wanted to make sure that the project engineer leaves me his name and phone contact, and we'll take care of the rest.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So this takes us on to item 10 was the closed session, which was done earlier. This takes us on to 11. Do we want to go through these now in case it takes too long, or do we want to move the general manager's items in front of the reports in case we don't finish with the reports?
I thought we were going to go to board member comments.
That's after between that's between 14 and 15.
How the hell did that happen?
So,
oh, there it is.
Not hearing any input, we'll continue with item number 11, which are the reports. And the sanitation report. What has happened over the last several meetings is we received an update on the FOG, the Fat Soil and Grease Program. As of January of this year, Oceana was 100% compliant in that. We also received the 08-09 fiscal year end audit and financial records. We awarded a construction contract to refurbish the splitter box for the effluent pumps, and the board approved the approval of the purchase of materials for the sludge withdrawal line project. The board authorized the solicitation of bids to purchase effluent pump gates and check valves. The board began the construction bidding process for a new centrifuge project and solids handling building. These are all major budget items from the past. The last payment for the cogeneration project was authorized. The district received a $150,000 rebate check from the gas company on this project. The district expects to save over $100,000 a year in utility costs. Fire committee reports, I'm going to let Pamela do, and the Oceana Advisory Council. The county is going to be replacing the bridge on Air Park Drive, and the OAC is sending its list of impacts in the beach area to the county. There's going to be a modular medical building placed next to the CHC on Cienega to expand the work area for the CHC there. And the county is looking to establish a no parking zone on Juanita Avenue at Lakeside Avenue. And there's been an application for a convenience store at 1711 Front Street. And those are the things we've been working on in the advisory council. And that's it for my reports. Vice President Dean?
I'm going to consolidate all of the fire reports because they all kind of lead to the same place. So we're going to the fire, and these range from 1218 to 19 for Fire Oversight Committee, Fire Committee 126 and 223, in fact. And so last night's committee, I'm going to report what went on. We had a report from John Bova that they've been using the ladder truck, and they're working with, he said it's his first time he's ever got his hands on the ladder for the ladder truck and got to really use it. He says there have been 110 calls so far and 38 for this month, and we are ahead of last year, but he didn't know how much. The major problems with engine 61, it's old, and they're metal fatigue problems, like an air compressor was cracked, had a crack in it, and the cooling lines on the engine had a crack. The assistance to firefighters grant, we heard last time that Aurora Grande received a grant in the amount of $815,625 for a new ladder truck, and so they're working out the way that they're going to spec it out, finish specing it out, and purchase it. So we'll have a little bit more for you later on that. That is just very, very good news. So the JPA is still being worked on. We're getting really, really close. The Joint Powers Authority that we've been working on to meld the three fire departments, Grover Beach, Aurora Grande, and OCSD. This next fire oversight committee is for March 18th. It will be in Grover Beach at 3:30. It's a Thursday. They will be presenting the final JPA at that point, and we expect that it will come before the board the following meeting. So at that time, they'll have the JPA, they'll have the MOU for all the firefighters, and they will have the budget. So we are on track to get it all done by July, which is all really, really good news.
Director Dean, can I ask you a question?
We'll do questions after everybody's
Yeah. And then there was a joint dispatch study done. They wanted to do a little more work on that and refine it. And it looks like they're looking for Grover Beach and AG and OCSD to all go to the Aurora Grande office. So that seems to be the direction they're pointing, and they will give us more information at the next meeting. So that's the fire committees. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, we're going to do questions from everybody after.
So oh, afterwards? Okay.
Yeah. Director Hill?
I have zone 11A.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'll go quickly.
Yes.
Zone 11A, the waterway management plan and EIR has gone out to all the agencies. They're working on that, and they expect to have the EIR ready to be certified in June or July, 6 to 8 months after that to get permits. This is for veg management, sediment removal, raising the levee so that we are shovel ready when we get money from grants or something to raise the levee. So they're talking about mitigation of impacts, and that is on track also. So everybody's working very hard to get the waterway management plan in place. The levee temporary levee protection went up if people had walked the levees at all. You saw that on the south side of the levee there was a covering so that if the water rose above the levee and went over the levee and overtopped it, it would not wash away the earthen part of the levee. So far, it's still in place, and we haven't had our operating. However, they're very old, and it has to be done manually, and they are on top of when they have to get out there to do it, but it is not a very good system. I think, the fish and game permit for the veg management, this is cutting down the willow trees, that will be the same permit type as it has been for the last few years. So there's nothing changed, and we should get that. And that will be taking place soon. That permit is in. And that's all I have.
Okay, Director Hill.
On December 16th, I attended the Sanitation District meeting, and the major business was class adjustments to the employee compensation program there. I was not able to support that item because the district here had not made any adjustment to our own employees' compensation. However, the matter did pass 2-1. That was the major item there. And I also want to congratulate the Sanitation District staff on getting the cogen plant up and running online. That's a major achievement that will achieve major savings with a 7-year payback, as President Dahl indicated. So congratulations to the staff there on a job well done.
And Director Lucy.
Zone 3 hasn't met since my last report, but I have been asked by Tony Navarro to represent Oceano on a homeless campus project that's being designed by the California Community Foundation. The Clapboard family estate left $1.5 million to be spent on building a comprehensive program for people who are chronically and homeless or have other needs that are being unmet. The family estate distinctly listed Oceano as the primary location. They've changed it to 5 cities to be more inclusive. So Pismo has several people sitting on the task force. There are 25 members total. You might have seen it on the cover of the Tribune on Saturday. We met for most of the day. This is a 100% volunteer and love project. And so I feel very honored to be asked to have sat on the task force, and quite frankly, I'm enjoying the people that I'm working with. There's several years and years and years of studies, but not much has ever been implemented, so now is the time to implement. And so everybody's poring over the studies, pulling out what is valuable and what is not, what is current and what is not. And so at this current moment, there's people are meeting twice a month. We meet on Saturdays and in the evenings. And I'll give you more information at the next meeting.
Thank you. Are there any questions on any of the reports from the board? Okay. Yes or no? Okay, hearing none.
Well, wait a minute. I do have a comment. I'd like to be able to get these reports more timely because we're going clear back like two and a half months, and it's like you rattle through them really quick, and you know, I just think it'd be better if we had more information on it, so when we do get it up to a vote, we can figure out what's really going on.
Okay, well, that's because we've been behind on giving our reports. Mm-hmm. Normally, they're given at the given in a timely manner, shortly within one or
okay,
two meetings afterwards.
Okay, I just would
afterwards.
Like to see if we can't try to get these more frequent.
Well, they're normally given it within, you know, within a session or two of when they actually happen. It's just that the board has not continued long enough to do in the last few meetings. Okay. Anyone else have any questions? Okay, any public comment on the reports?
Carol Henson. I have a question for President Verndahl. Tonight when he was giving his... let me back up. I attended one of the advisory council meetings here not too long ago, and there was some talk about a extension of the CHC being discussed, and I was surprised because it sounded like it was a pretty much done deal. And so tonight I heard President Dahl say that there was going to be a modular...
And they will determine whether that's okay to put it there or not, and the OCSD will look at whether they're going to service it water or not and those type of things.
So that would be the only thing that the OCSD would have any determining factor
right
on.
We're not a planning...
You wouldn't be able to try to influence them if you didn't feel it was, you know, something that fit into your district, or you have no...
Okay, maybe you should ask me these questions afterwards. Thank you. Okay, any other public comment? Okay, moving on to item number 12. 12A, update regarding progress toward purchase of the new accounting system. General Manager Montemiro.
Well, I'm extremely pleased. I've had this on the agenda since December, but this is the first chance I get to speak to it. We're working at great lengths. We are very, I repeat, very close to having a new computer system. One might ask, how close? Well, on the March 10th meeting, I'm going to put on the agenda, a gentleman's name is Craig. He represents Tyler Technologies, which is the computer program that we're finding to be most beneficial after we started this project in October. And the piece that's missing that I say we're very close is, normally what they do with this type of project, you know, it's a capital project, they either have the money and they pay for it up front, or they just finance it like in a lease thing, like you would a large capital project, and then at the end of the lease, you own it for a dollar. Well, the economist in me says, I really don't have the money to pay for it up front, and yet I'm really not happy with the idea of leasing it for the whole thing, because then it'll cost the district more. So they're in the process of figuring out, we presently have $41,000 in the budget that it's been deemed that we can spend for this project, some of which had been considered previously to remodel this room, and the rest, the other half, was for computer equipment originally. So what I'm waiting for, and they assured me that we'll have them before March 10th, is what would happen if we gave them the $41,000 that we have up front first and only leased the balance? What would the lease payment be? And he'll be here on the 10th to answer any questions. As soon as I get that figure, I'll have all the information that I need to prepare my packet to bring to the board as to why we're recommending this. Staff and I have worked at great lengths to come up with... we went to Heritage Ranch the week of Thanksgiving, the accounts receivable person, the accounts payable person, and myself, and... we saw how it actually works. The accounts receivable was extremely pleased. Presently what happens is we do some of the work here, but our bills are actually mailed out of L.A., whereas over there on this new system, it actually folds the things right in front of you, and you can see them, you know, go out. Last Thursday, the accounts payable person and myself went to Montecito because Thursday they were doing the payroll, and I had waited. Earlier in the year, we couldn't go down because with that year-end stuff, you know how that is. But they were very, very helpful, the Montecito Water District, and we scheduled it last Thursday. We could go watch them do their payroll. So we bought our accounts payable person and they observed how they do the payroll. I spoke with the person who's in charge of the computer system as they were, their staff were doing the payroll, and we talked about stuff like audits and budgets. I saw some reports. I have brought some copies, and I'll prepare them for the board before the March 10th meeting. And it shows, like, for example, you could actually track profit and loss statements. You can show budget versus actual, which is the kind of stuff that, you know, I've been led to believe that the board members want. Well, here it's real easy. You can bring it up on a screen. I spoke with them at great lengths about the audit. They said before this computer system, they had banker boxes and, you know, all over, and with that tractor feed type paper, and it was extremely difficult to do an audit, whereas now virtually what the auditor wants to know, they can bring it up on the screen and either download it or email it or whatever. So not only will the system that we're going to present to the board for approval help us as far as staff and being more efficient, it'll also help as far as the audit, the record keeping, and the financials. I believe that if I've done the numbers, but I want them to come back, but I believe that if they take the $41,000 up front, item B is an update regarding Prop 1A. Prop 1A, it seems so long ago, was like just before I came. That was in October when the state had come up with that funny money stuff that they were going to take 8% of our levy. Well, our levy is so little that we couldn't afford to lose 8%. So we participated in the program in Prop 1A, and the economist in me says cash is king. I have here a copy of the check. We've received $34,333. When we did this project, I thought, well, you know, it's great if we collect, because there was no way we could afford to lose over $64,000 of levy. But when I received the funds and now the money's in the bank, now I'm more confident. They had said that they were going to pay us in two equal payments. So therefore, I'm glad to report that payment one has been deposited, and now I look forward to payment two. And under other, I would just like to just a couple minutes be very brief. I've been working at great lengths with a firm in San Luis Obispo, Glenn Burdett, and I'm hoping, we've been playing phone tag because at this time of the year, you know, accountants and auditors are extremely busy, but I'm hoping to have that person, that CPA, come to our next meeting and talk to the board just exactly. Not only are we working on preparing for the forensic audit, but we want to make sure that the scope of work that we're going to give this firm is exactly what the board likes. And because of time, I'll conclude my report, but both the board and the public, you know, if you have any questions, come to visit anytime. Thank you.
Okay, any public comment on item number 12? Okay, any comments from the board? Discussion? Okay, thank you.
Can you tell me, Tyler Tech, they must have an email address where I can look at what you're looking at. Do you have a model number?
Absolutely. Tyler Technology is a privately owned company. Mm-hmm. They trade on the, you know, stock exchange, so they're very efficient. You can go online and bring up everything from, you know, what they have to their finances. They're very financially in good, you know, situation. I don't want to lease something from somebody that I have to question, well, gee, 4 or 5 years from now, are they going to be around or not? Mm-hmm. So sure, you can have all that stuff. Just stop by my office. I have a folder. It's about this high.
Okay.
I just want to compliment the general manager for pursuing those items. It seems that we've waited a long, long time to see any inkling of progress.
Director Dahl,
yes.
May I ask that, and when you're reviewing your agenda, you had asked for suggestions, and that maybe we could move the GM's report up in the agenda so the public can see that, although we're kind of nitpicking at each other, things are still moving. There is still work that does get done. But we run over time, and we don't get to hear his report. And so people think that we're kind of stuck. And so if you would just please take that into consideration.
I hate to move too many reports before the actual business, because then we may not end up getting the business done. But
that's business.
Okay. But I can move it up in front of the director reports if you want. Okay, that takes us on to public comment. Any public comment? Okay, hearing none. Were there any written communications?
Only the ones that I put on your desk. They came like in the last 2 days.
Okay. Being that we've only got like 2 minutes to go, does anybody, I'm going to have to make it real quick, does anybody have anything to say under either board member discussion or board member comments? Okay, good. So there's nothing there, and there are no written communications, so we are adjourned. All right.